So in this recording, we're going to talk about emergency management of pelvic fractures. So as you know, there is a protocol, some written guidelines that we have. So that's the first thing. You should make sure that you're familiar with this, or at least know where it is, get a hold of it, maybe put it in your iPhone, maybe in your iBooks, or somewhere where it's readily accessible offline. We print it, whatever, know where it is. Or know it, even better. And this is important because keep in mind, patients with pelvic fractures can bleed out, right? They can lead, bleed to death. And we used to routinely get chest, C spine, pelvis X-rays on every trauma patient. It was like a routine. Chest, obviously, they still do that. C spine, because you wanted to rule out a C spine injury, pelvic X-ray to rule out a pelvic fracture. Now we don't do those routinely anymore. And patients get scans now very regularly, and many centers, including ours, have gone away from the routine pelvis X-ray. But in a historical perspective, it was important because a missed pelvic fracture could be a major source of bleeding. And the thing to keep in mind is that as the orthopedic resident, you often are the person that the trauma service is looking to. And sometimes they're looking to the attendings early on as well, more so for these injuries than they are for most anything else. Because the trauma surgeons, this is not their thing. They don't manage pelvic fractures, and they will get uncomfortable. And it is your job to deal with that. And there's not that many patients in the hospital that you are sort of, the person who knows how to, manage a potentially life-threatening situation. So it's really important that you understand some of the basic principles. Get familiar with the guidelines. I think they make, reasonable sense. And obviously, read your textbook chapters, understand this. But I'll go through some some important points. So number one is to make sure you can identify, what is a stable versus an unstable injury. All right. Now, unstable means many things. Unstable means hemodynamically unstable. So you can go see the patient, and the patient's either hemodynamically stable or they can't hold a blood pressure. So that's the first thing. And that may obviously drive trauma surgeries management and decision to get angio and decision to go to OR, et cetera, but also should drive your management to some degree. Now, the other way to think about stability is mechanical stability. Now, here's where you should be familiar with the tile classification, which really looks at, pelvic ring is stable, pelvic ring is rotationally unstable, which is the tile B, and then rotationally and vertically unstable, which is the tile C. And this really is mechanistic, mechanical stability of the pelvis. And to some degree, you should be able to, understand radiographic imaging, realize that at the time of impact, there can be much more displacement than there is on the static film that you're looking at. And be able to identify that this is a tile C, it's a vertically unstable pelvic fracture pattern, so that's unstable. Now, it doesn't mean the patient's hemodynamically unstable, but it does mean that we mechanically have to do something about it. And you may have a hemodynamically unstable patient in a patient with a stable pelvic fracture. Now, we see this occasionally in the elderly patient with atherosclerotic vessels that sort of tear with minimally displaced fractures and can hemorrhage. But very often, you can correlate mechanical stability with hemodynamic instability in many fracture patterns. So that's the first thing. You need to recognize that. You need to understand what's at your disposal. For open book fractures, obviously, you want to close them down. You want to use a sheet. You want to use a binder. The IR guys hate working around binders. It is your job to make sure they figure out a way. And I can tell you, I've been there, told them not to remove it. I step away for 2 seconds, and then they're taking it off. And what I found is that for the IR guys, a sheet actually works better. It's easier to sort of cut a hole where they need to work. The sheet can be applied as broadly as you'd like, and you should really look at pictures of how this is done. It's not like taking a rope. You have to keep the sheet broad. You have to use clips or coker clamps to sort of hold it together, but basically it works perfectly fine. Other thing you have to keep in mind is you have to sort of internally rotate the ankles, bind the ankles together, bring the knees together, do something to help so you don't have this sort of lithotomy position while you're trying to hold the pelvis with a binder. So don't let IR go to work. They tell you they're going to be quick. They're in there for an hour and a half coiling everything. And, you know, you had a nice reduction, and now the pelvis is splayed open again because they chose to take your binder or sheet off. So in those cases, think about a sheet. Or if you have to, you go to IR and you switch to a sheet. And I've had to do this personally. And, you know, hopefully if they're reasonable, they'll work with you. And you know, you'll do the patient a favor. Anyway, the other thing is make sure you rule out open fractures, okay? Patients who have rectal and vaginal tears are open fractures, so you can't miss those. You have some displaced ramus fracture in a female patient, somebody's got to make sure that they do an exam to make sure there's no vaginal lacerations. If there's a question, somebody's got to do a speculum exam. Who knows what they're looking at? If there's a question in with a rectal tear, someone has to, you know, you have to get surgery to do a proctoscope and make sure. Because if somebody does have an open pelvic fracture, it is a high risk for intrapelvic sepsis, and there needs to be consideration for a diverting colostomy. All right. Of course, you know, these patients are bleeding. You have to trend their hemoglobins. Okay. These patients, if they go to the OR and will need some type of laparotomy or GU procedure, you may need to be prepared to do an external fixator, okay? So you learn this in the AO basic course. Hopefully you brush up on it every now and then, especially if you get called for a pelvic fracture and that patient's going to the OR and you might need to, you know, switch from a sheet or binder to an X-Fix because the sheet or binder may not be appropriate for what they're about to leave the OR with. GU injuries. I kind of touched on it briefly, but you have to make sure that you effectively rule out GU injuries, bladder injuries, urethral tears. Now, keep in mind, many times you can have an extraperitoneal bladder rupture. And you have to distinguish that from the intraperitoneal bladder rupture. The intraperitoneal variety usually have to go to the OR. Extraperitoneal bladder ruptures usually are treated non-operatively by urology. However, if they have a symphysis injury that we need to plate, and we don't want their urine all over the place, right? So in those cases, we got to coordinate that with urology and make sure that you know, our field is kept, you know, reasonably sterile, and the bladder repair is often in order. So, you know, you want to diagnose those. Urethrograms are often needed early on to rule those out, especially if there's a consideration for any type of anterior plating. All right, so I think those are the kind of main highlight points I think you need to be aware of. Obviously, I didn't go into any of the definitive management, you know, fixation techniques, etc. But most of the times what you need to be concerned about are most of the emergency resuscitation. We didn't talk about interventional radiology other than, you know, let them do their job, but let us do our job by getting that, by keeping that sheet on. But I hope you found this useful. Thank you.